My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we've got breaking news here from Texans training camp. Danico Autry is being suspended 6 games by the NFL for violating violating the policy on performance-enhancing drugs. This is a statement that Danico, and this is a lengthy statement that Danico Autry just put out. And this statement is time-stamped last night at 10:10. So I don't know, did you see him at practice?
Yeah, he was here.
Okay, well, he was at practice knowing that he was going to be suspended for the first 6 games of this season. So here's the full statement from Autry. Over the course of my 10-year NFL career, I have never engaged in the use of performance-enhancing drugs. Over that period, I have been subject to countless tests, none of which have ever returned a positive result. I was therefore stunned this offseason when I learned that one of my tests returned a positive result. I immediately investigated the matter and discovered that a pharmacy to which my doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication had, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. I want to be clear, at no time did I know or even suspect that this medication contained a banned substance. Upon discovering the source of the positive test, I immediately retained legal counsel in connection with this matter. My counsel provided the NFL with information, including documentation from my doctors, establishing that I neither asked for nor was prescribed any banned substances. It was important to me that the NFL know that I did not intentionally or even knowingly ingest a banned substance. I understand, however, that under the NFL's policies, the ultimate responsibility for what enters my body rests with me. To that end, while I intend to explore legal options pertaining to the circumstances that resulted in my positive test, I have accepted the NFL's punishment of a 6-game suspension. I want to apologize to the Texans organization, my teammates, and the fans for any distraction this may cause. Finally, I want to assure our fans that my commitment to competing to the best of my ability has only grown, and I look forward to returning to the field.
All right, a lot there. First of all, the suspension. 6 games is enormous. Mm-hmm. That is a big, big hit. That is an enormous hit for this defense. They had him down in the middle. He's been kicking ass. He's been looking really, really good. And then there's the suspension itself and his statement. Very adamant. And, you know, I know this happens all the time. Hey, I didn't know what they gave me. And it's sometimes a cop-out type excuse. His was very clearly, like, specific. He even mentioned what we all probably could figure already anyway. Lawyers will be involved. But it doesn't take away from the fact that he's being suspended.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did ingest something. And this is a big hit for the Houston Texans. I want to get your thoughts on that before I share what I just tweeted and I was telling Figgy during the break.
It's obviously a hit. Like, this is a guy who I think you were expecting to start for you on defense. But I don't think it's that big just because he's a 10-year vet. Like, you kind of, in a sense, want him a little bit on a pitch count.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a team that wants to play deep into January and February. So maybe getting him those 6 games off, those 6 weeks off, might help him moving. Again, this is the glass very, very half full looking at it that way. But it keeps him healthy. It keeps him on the field. You know, hopefully maybe he's fresh towards the end of the season, fresher towards the end of the season, because he's not taking hits in September and October. So I think that's, like, the positive spin that you can put on it.
I mean, yeah.
It's not great. Like, listen, I'm grasping here. But
I feel like it is a little bit. I mean, you're not wrong, but it is a little bit grasping. Keep in mind, the early part of the schedule is when they can make hay, mm-hmm. You know, against some teams that I feel are very beatable, rookie quarterbacks playing in those games. And keep also in mind, one of our biggest worries about this entire defense until Danico Autry came around was the interior. The interior defensive line was our big worry, and it's going to continue to be a worry now for at least into the first 6 games of the year. Figgy, did you see my last tweet?
I didn't.
You didn't? It's a very short and sweet tweet that I just made. What's up, JJ Watt?
Oh, I see what you did there.
So you're stirring that up.
Is it unfair?
I mean, kind of a different position, right?
Well, but you can move him in and out, and he's moved in and out. He's talked about moving in and out. It gives you another guy out there in the front. Don't shake your head at this. Like, what did D'Amico say? If anything comes up, I will give you a call. I could give you a call.
Well,
D'Amico's
right in there.
Something just came up.
Aaron, can you go get D'Amico real quick and let's see what's going on there?
I'm not opining here. This is an opinion. Like JJ said, hey, you got my number.
I will say, you're not the only person who's thinking this. We have multiple people on the text line now.
D'Amico said, yeah, anything happens, I'll give you a call.
Well, so.
Well.
Aaron's walking over. So I think he's going to go check on D'Amico and see if this qualifies. You know, the talk seemingly has died down about the J.J. Watt stuff, so obviously that will stir it back up again. But, hey, like, they need another body here for the first part of the year. 6 games, it is a lot. It's 35% of your season.
Yeah.
And so being without a starter for 35% of the season is a big deal. But if you want to look at it half glass full, he's going to be healthy later on.
He will. No, that's more than fair. By the way, our friend at Texans Cap is saying that the 6-game suspension will cost D'Amico Autry $1.676 million a game.
A game?
A game.
So $1.67 million a game.
Well, oh, no, here it is. No, I read that wrong. Cost him $1.676 million and per-game bonuses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good hit. Pretty good hit.
A pharmacy giving you something that you say a pharmacy gave you something that. Can you sue the pharmacy for that?
It sounds like he's thinking about it. He's already mentioning lawyers and everything else.
I know
else.
I would.
Yeah.
I would be on that right away. But obviously, so if you're just joining us, breaking news today from Texans camp, Danico Autry has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's policy against performance-enhancing drugs. Obviously, we will hear from D'Amico Ryans about that tomorrow, but let's hear from D'Amico Ryans today, after today's practice, as the Texans are in a game week. They will play in the Hall of Fame game on Thursday against the Bears. Here is what D'Amico Ryans had to say after day 9 of training camp.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, no rain, it's been a hot day. How good was it just to kind of get back into the elements you normally play?
Yeah, really good day for us today. Nice, clear day. Hot day here in Houston, like normal training camp. So it's good for our guys to get out in the heat and just mentally, right? You have to be mentally tough to play in this league. And we need all types of weather that we can work in. We need those things to build, continue to build our resiliency as a team. And you know, it was a good hot day for us today where guys had to truly tough it out.
DeMeco, we do have multiple wide receivers trying to fight for reps. What stood out about Noah Brown so far throughout training camp?
Noah's always been a very consistent guy, right? Every rep that he's taken, like he's tough. He finishes, he plays the right way, and he's just consistent. You know what you're going to get out of Noah every time he steps on the field.
What kind of look has Jeff Okuda given you guys so far?
Jeff has done a good job through camp. He's competed, right? He's made some plays for us. He's done a really good job.
Coach, heading into this first preseason game, how do you evaluate or what are you looking for? Even, you know, it's not a real game, but it's still a game.
Yeah, anytime we line up, right, it's real. So for the guys who are out there, right, it's important. That's the first thing that we have to understand, that all these guys are vying for a spot, you know, on this team. They're vying for a spot, a chance to play in the NFL and make it. So we don't take it lightly for all the guys to get reps, and we want to make sure our guys are prepared and they're playing their best, right, so they can showcase their talent to the entire league. And we have a lot of young guys who we'll see play in this game, and I'm excited to see them just go play. And you work a lot with them in the classroom, making sure they understand the X's and O's. But certain guys, they show up when the lights come on. You may not see it out here at practice all the time. When the lights come on, they just have a good feel for playing the game, and that's what we want to see on Thursday.
You targeted Aziz more than once. Now he's here. Can you see the impact he has out there every day, even at this point in camp?
Aziz has done a great job of leading our football team. Right? He brings energy every day. He brings passion. And I know everybody feels that on our team, not just defensively. And I'm very pleased with where Aziz is. He's continuing to show that the leadership aspect of what we do is really important.
After the game, Andre Owens called a formal induction. What's it going to mean for everybody to watch that and for you to have the team show, hey, this is what we're looking for you guys to be like?
With Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame, it means everything to our organization. Like every person that's worked in this organization, every player who's strapped it up and put on that Texans jersey, right? Andre is representing everyone. And there's no better guy than Andre to be the first Houston Texan going in as a Hall of Famer. Definitely deserving of it. He's always been the best player in any field that he stepped on, and has been a great man in the community, great leader as well. So Andre is... We're happy to be there to support Andre, and wouldn't want to do it for any other guy.
Coach, can I show
up? And he's has been a great man and going in as a who's strapped it up and put on that
team. To have the team show, hey, this is what we're looking for you guys to be like.
Hall of Fame is.
Hey, this is what we're looking for you guys to be like.
With Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame, it means everything to our organization. Like every person that's worked in this organization, every player who's strapped it up and put on that Texans jersey, right, Andre is representing everyone. And there's no better guy than Andre to be the first Houston Texan going in as a Hall of Famer. Definitely deserving of it. He's always been the best player in any field that he stepped on, and he's has been a great man in the community, great leader as well. So Andre is definitely a Stingley's done great throughout camp. He's made some plays. He's been consistent throughout camp as well. He's showing up every day. So Stingley, you know, I think it's another big year ahead of Stingley. Right? He's just continued to build off of, you know, each and every day, continue to build.
Well, Jack, my question, how do you feel like the offensive line cohesiveness is coming along? A lot of good talent on the defensive line. How do you feel about the O-line and how they kind of
Yeah, O-line, they're doing a good job of working together and still building that, right, cohesiveness, and it's still coming together. But I think they're headed in the right direction, right, just playing, continuing to play the style of football that we want to play. A lot of different guys. We mix up a lot of guys in a lot of different groups. And, you know, with those guys, I think it'll definitely show themselves in the game come Thursday. So I'm excited to see, you know, how our O-line shows up on Thursday.
Well,
With the new kickoff rule, with the onside kick process is, first you have to be down. It has to be in the fourth quarter. You have to be down, right, by a considerable number of points, and you have to let the other team know. So there is no more surprise onside. So the opponent will know when there's an onside kick coming, so everybody can prepare, and it'll look just like a normal onside kick from last year, but there won't be any onside kicks in the first through the third quarter.
Coach, can I
ask you a question to take you off the field for a minute? When's the last time you actually been able to celebrate a birthday? Because as a player, as a coach, like, your birthday falls right in the training camp. When's the last time you've been able to celebrate?
So I tell people, I'm always working on my birthday, right? It's always in training camp. I'm always working, and I'm always thankful to know that I'm working and I'm enjoying getting to do what I love doing, you know, on my birthday. So it's been a long time since I celebrated a birthday, and I can tell my wife I don't miss it. I'm good. The birthday cake and everything, that's for the kids. They enjoy it more than me. Thank you for that.
CJ going to play on Thursday?
We'll see. Thursday. All right.
All right. That was D'Amico Ryans after today's practice. He gave out the "we'll see if CJ Stroud will play."
Oh, we know
on Thursday he's not going to play. Like, I think it's important for starters to play in the preseason, but when you've got four, you don't need them to play the
not
first
that
game.
Important.
Yeah. So I would be very surprised if CJ Stroud does play on Thursday. I'm disappointed. Because we've gotten a lot of questions about the onside stuff, the onside kick stuff with the new training camp rules. I'm going to miss the surprise onside because I think it's a great play, and I think that more teams should do it more often. So we lose that, and now you can't have an onside kick before the fourth quarter.
Right.
So even if you want to try and steal a possession, you can't.
You cannot.
That's disappointing.
But the positive is the field position and the excitement of the play.
I'd rather see onside kicks.
I don't know if I would or not because kickoffs were just forget it. Go to the bathroom. They were a non.
Well, that's a nice luxury to have.
They were a non-play. It was
fast forward that.
It was the NFL, this elite league that dominates the world, that owns a day. For God's sakes, they own Sunday, and you had several moments every game where it was just nothing. So I do like the fact that it's going to be exciting. It's going to be returnable. It's going to be better field positions, a lot more breaks. Hey, you give and you take. By the way, for anybody who wasn't listening earlier, a couple things. Big breaking news today involving the Texans. D'Amico Autry suspended 6 games for violating the policy, I think is what they said.
Yes.
Of substance use, performance-enhancing drug, whatever you want to call it. And that news came after D'Amico Ryan spoke. So we will get their reaction to that ASAP. But it's a big hit, man. It is an absolute big hit on this team. There is a somewhat, if you squint, as you did, kind of a cup half full thing there in terms of he's an older player that can maybe be ready by the end of the season. But still, six games at a very workable part of the schedule. I thought the Texans would go 4-1. I'm predicting the Texans go 4-1 in their first five games. Well, you're not going to have Danico Autry.
And his explanation, he put out a pretty lengthy statement, and his explanation is, quote, "I immediately investigated the matter and discovered that a pharmacy to which my doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication had, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. I want to be clear, at no time did I know or even suspect that this medication contained a banned substance." So that is the explanation that Danico Autry gave. This was a statement that was dated last night. So obviously he's known that this was coming for a while, and the NFL has announced it today. So like John said, Danico Autry suspended for the first six games of the 2024 season. So he will miss the first six of 17 games. So that's about, what, 35% of the schedule. But then you would hope, or you would think, that he would come back healthy for game number seven, and maybe sitting out those six games will keep him a little bit fresher as this season moves along. Because remember, the Texans are hoping that this season goes deep into January and in February. All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, we've got some lunchtime confessions. I know John has one about Team USA basketball.
I got one about you.
Well, that's never good. That's next on In the Loop. Watch this. All right, let's do some confessions on Sports Radio 610. It's In the Loop. John, you go first.
I will go first. All right, Figgy, you got to back me up on this. Now, you, Adam, you're going to Europe this weekend.
Yes, Sunday.
Right?
Yep.
Awesome. Happy for you.
Don't sound like it.
But, well, here's my confession. You got to pop over to Paris. You got to pop over to Paris and catch some of the Olympics.
I'm not going to that part of Europe, though, because that's Western Europe. I'm
going
to
Eastern Europe. Thing. You know how easy it is to get around on trains.
Not where I'm going, though. It would be like a 40-hour train ride from where I'm going. I'm in Eastern Europe here. That's not easy to just, like, get.
Well, why would you plan this and not go to Paris for a day?
Part of it is I've been to Paris before.
But not during the Olympics.
No, not during the Olympics. But also, I wanted to just kind of, you know, you want to go to multiple places when you go over there.
Yeah.
But I have basically been to every other part of Western Europe. So it's like, okay, well, do I go? I could go back to London or whatever, but I've been to London multiple times. I don't want to go back just so I can go to Paris for a couple of days. Yeah. So that was the big reason why. Trust me, it certainly popped into my head. And there were two it was the Euros. And it was going to the Olympics was certainly something that I had planned on possibly doing, but just didn't work.
You got
to
make it happen.
I'll go to the Olympics in 28 in L.A., and I'll go to the World Cup here
LA.
In 26.
Have fun
Come
with that
on,
one, man.
L.A.? Good Lord. That's like saying, you want to go to the Super Bowl? No, I'm going to catch a preseason game.
Not at all. That's the Olympics are the Olympics. The
but
preseason
LA,
is the Super Bowl is not the preseason.
LA is not exotic.
It is
going to
be a crap show, man.
And yes,
it's already busy going to LA on the Wednesday.
Yes.
It's busy in Paris too. Same issues in Paris as they have in LA.
I think you really missed the boat here.
Okay, well, next time. Watch this. These are my confessions. So I guess my confession is going to be, so on this trip that I'm taking, it was partly inspired by a texter.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to Bulgaria and Romania. And I had mentioned, I think it was with Brandon, that, you know, we were just talking about, like, traveling and things like that. And I had told him that Bulgaria, for, I don't know why Bulgaria was on my list, but it just kind of was. I think partly is because I can fly through Istanbul, and I like flying through Istanbul.
Yeah.
And so a texter said in and said, like, hey, don't go to Bulgaria, go to Romania. Like, okay, well, I'll just do both. And so that was kind of the inspiration for the trip. And so you know it's close when you can, like, check the weather. And, like, the weather comes up the days that you're going to be there. So it's going to be hot.
Well, I am happy for you, but still think you missed the boat. Go ahead, Figgy. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So, for the first time ever, I really been all in on the Olympics, man. Like,
yeah,
I've been watching everything. Shout out to Peacock. So, you could go back and watch some old videos and games and stuff like that on the rebroadcast. So, I've been doing that. I've been watching. Dog, I caught the some of the highlights from that women's fencing game.
Yeah.
And it was intense, man. Shout out to Vivian Kong.
Yep.
Who came back. She was down 7-1, I want to say. Came back They won in the overtime, whatever that is. and she won. Ashley won gold.
Yeah.
Now, the other highlight I seen was from swimming. I think it was diving. And this guy literally fell flat on his back in the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually listened to this highlight. I gotta play this for y'all.
Okay.
And this was hilarious. And this guy became a meme.
15 Southeast Asian Games are taking place right now in Singapore, and right now the Philippine diving team, they're having a rough go at it to start off with. Everything got started when diver John Elmerson Fabriga earned a zero for his routine, which
didn't
exactly go as planned as he landed on his back.
My man earned a zero, man.
Zero.
Look, man, I'm the last person need to be criticizing anybody about swimming. But my man looked rough out there, man. This dude.
You could land on your feet and outscore him.
Dude, I didn't land.
Jump off.
Dog, I didn't jump in the pool better than that. My man looked like he wasn't even supposed to be out there. He looked so disappointed. And
talking about when you lie on your resume.
Well, that's like when you get a zero on a dive, that's like taking a test and getting a zero, but it's because you got every single answer wrong.
Yeah.
It's not because you didn't do it, it's because you got everything wrong.
Yeah. He just,
poor guy, I feel bad for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, man, his country should be disappointed, man. That was awful, man. I did better cannonballs than that.
Yeah. All right, watch this. All right, while we're on the Olympics and these sports, I don't mean to be, I know I'm not alone on this. This gymnastic scoring thing, I could not hate it more. Give me a scale of 1 to 10. Like, give me old school, the world knows, hey, a 9.5 is really, really good. Hey, a 10 is perfect. These scores that they're doing, and by the way, the United States team, spoiler alert, is competing in both men's and women's team finals. But they have, like...
How are they doing?
They have, like... Their score is, like, 14.2349652, whatever. Nobody gets that. Let's just figure out a way to go back 0 through 10. Give me 0 through 10. That's all I'm asking for. Is that asking too much?
No, I don't think so.
This scoring system throws everybody. Is that good? Was it 12.7 good? Was that good? I don't know.
They could have easily got a zero like my man's in diving.
Exactly.
These sports with the subjective scores are always... It's the same thing like with the figure skating for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Like some things are worth more than others, and some people like...
The difficulty.
Yeah, their routines automatically put them above other people. So, yeah it's difficult.
Yeah.
So people have made a big deal over Jason Tatum not playing in Team USA's win over Serbia yesterday. He was a DNP CD. And now people are saying, well, this is huge because maybe he won't play in the Olympics ever again.
And
we need him if we want to win a gold medal or whatever. I don't care. I want to see Team USA win, but I'm not like... We're up in arms over Jason Tatum maybe not ever playing in the Olympics again, because frankly, I don't think the Americans necessarily need Jason Tatum to compete in
the
Olympics.
They might.
I mean, I'm sorry, but as good as Nikola Jokic is, and Nikola Jokic is probably the best player on the planet right now, his team got beat by 23 and Jason Tatum didn't play.
Yeah.
And like, you have some of these countries have great players. You know, Greece has Giannis. Slovenia has Luka Doncic. Serbia has Nikola Jokic. But after that, things start to get a little thin. So I'm never really worried about a Team USA not winning the gold medal as long as you have the NBA players in it and as long as the NBA players actually care, which wasn't really the case in 2004.
Yeah, my thing with that is not so much like up in arms or anything. I just thought it was beyond bizarre. It was beyond bizarre. Go ahead, Figgy.
Speaking of basketball, I think I like Olympic basketball way more. I think it's way more entertaining than the NBA, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's just so rowdy, and I feel like they play harder for some reason. I mean, even Team USA was playing harder than they would like during a regular NBA season game, and I get why. Because, you know, they ain't going to play, you know, they ain't going to take no time off just like a regular, you know, game, like 30th game or something like that. But it was just way more rowdy. I liked the crowd. The crowd was so hyped.
And I like the rules.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Just get the ball out of bounds. Go. Let's go. And yeah. Then off the rim, you can get it off the rim, all that stuff.
Yeah, I love it, man. I feel like the NBA, I don't know what the NBA can do to make it like this. I don't think they can, but.
Well, they can do the sideline and the rim thing.
I think they can, but just the crowd, man. I just like people just so rowdy with the flags, and Serbia was just going nuts. It was fun, man. I wish the NBA was kind of like that, or at least the crowd part of it.
Yeah, I got another one for you.
Well, really quick, there's two main differences. First of all, the games are shorter.
Yeah.
You only have 40-minute games. You don't have as many timeouts. Like, you're not taking TV timeouts every 4 minutes. You don't have three or four timeouts for the last 2 minutes of the game. So you're just actually playing basketball.
Yeah.
And also, there's not like a bunch of music and sound effects going on during the game. Like, I don't think people realize just like how annoying that is. And it's why I like college basketball so much.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that crap. Like, if you watch NBA games from like the early 90s, you had some of it. But it wasn't on every single possession. You go to a Rockets game and it's every single possession. There's some sort of music or sound effect. You got the PA announcer yelling defense.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So for the first time ever, I really been all in on the Olympics, man. Like I've been watching everything. Shout out to Peacock. So you could go back and watch some old videos and games and stuff like that on the rebroadcast. So I've been doing that. I caught the some of the highlights from that women's fencing game.
Yeah.
And it was intense, man. Shout out to Vivian Kong, who came back. She was down 7-1, I want to say. Came back. They won in the overtime, whatever that is. and she won. Actually won gold.
Yeah.
Now, the other highlight I seen was from swimming. I think it was diving. And this guy literally fell flat on his back in the water.
Yeah.
And I actually listened to this highlight. I gotta play this for y'all.
Okay.
And this was hilarious. And this guy became a meme.
15 Southeast Asian Games are taking place right now in Singapore, and right now the Philippine diving team, they're having a rough go at it to start off with. Everything got started when diver John Elmerson Fabriga earned a zero for his routine, which
didn't
exactly go as planned as he landed on his back.
My man earned a zero, man.
Zero.
Look, man, I'm the last person need to be criticizing anybody about swimming. But my man looked rough out there, man. This dude.
You could land on your feet and outscore him.
Dude, I didn't land.
Jump off.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't jump in the pool better than that. My man looked like he wasn't even supposed to be out there. He looked so disappointed. And
talking about when you lie on your resume.
Well, that's like when you get a zero on a dive, that's like taking a test and getting a zero, but it's because you got every single answer wrong.
Yes.
It's not because you didn't do it, it's because you got everything wrong.
He just,
poor guy, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, man, his country should be disappointed, man.
Oh,
that was, that was awful, man. I did better cannonballs than that.
Yeah. All right, watch this. All right, while we're on the Olympics and these sports, I don't mean to be, I know I'm not alone on this. This gymnastic scoring thing, I could not hate it more. Give me a scale of 1 to 10. Like, give me old school, the world knows, hey, a 9.5 is really, really good. Hey, a 10 is perfect. These scores that they're doing, and by the way, the United States team, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, is competing in both men's and women's finals, team final. But they have like...
How are they doing?
They have like... Their score is like 14.2349652, whatever. Nobody gets that. Let's just figure out a way to go back 0 through 10. Give me 0 through 10. That's all I'm asking for. Is that asking too much?
No, I don't think so.
This scoring system throws everybody. Is that good? Was it 12.7 good? Was that good? I don't know.
They could have easily got a zero like my man's and yeah, diving.
Exactly.
These sports with the subjective scores are always, it's the same thing like with the figure skating for the Winter Olympics. Yeah. Like, you, some things are worth more than others, and some people, like
the difficulty.
Yeah, their routines automatically put them above other people. So yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
So people have made a big deal over Jason Tatum not playing in Team USA's win over Serbia yesterday. He was a DNP CD. And now people are saying, well, this is huge because maybe he won't play in the Olympics ever again. And we need him if we want to win a gold medal or whatever. I don't care. Like, I want to see Team USA win, but I'm not like up in arms over Jason Tatum maybe not ever playing in the Olympics again, because frankly, I don't think the Americans necessarily need Jason Tatum to compete in the Olympics.
They might.
I mean, I'm sorry, but as good as Nikola Jokic is, and Nikola Jokic is probably the best player on the planet right now, his team got beat by 23 and Jason Tatum didn't play.
Yeah.
And like, you have some of these countries have great, great players. You know, Greece has Giannis. Slovenia has Luka Doncic. Serbia has Nikola Jokic. But after that, things start to get a little thin. So I'm never really worried about a Team USA not winning the gold medal as long as you have the NBA players in it and as long as the NBA players actually care, which wasn't really the case in 04.
Yeah, my thing with that is not so much like up in arms or anything. I just thought it was beyond bizarre. It was beyond bizarre. Go ahead, Figgy. Watch this.
These are my confessions. Speaking of basketball, I think I like Olympic basketball way more. I think it's way more entertaining than the NBA, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's just so rowdy, and I feel like they play harder for some reason. I mean, even Team USA was playing harder than they would like during a regular NBA season game, and I get why, because you know they ain't gonna play. You know they ain't gonna take no time off just like a regular, you know, game, like 30th game or something like that, but it was just way more rowdy. I liked the crowd. The crowd was so hyped. And
I like the rules.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Just get the ball out of bounds. Go. Let's go. And then off the rim, you can get it off the rim, all that stuff.
Yeah, I love it, man. I feel like the NBA, I don't know what the NBA can do to make it like this. I don't think they can, but.
Well, they can do the sideline and the rim thing.
I think they can, but just the crowd, man. I just like people just so rowdy with the flags, and Serbia was just going nuts. It was fun, man. I wish the NBA was kind of like that, or at least the crowd part of it.
Yeah, I got another one for you.
Well, really quick, there's two main differences. First of all, the games are shorter.
Yeah.
You only have 40-minute games. You don't have as many timeouts. Like, you're not taking TV timeouts every 4 minutes. You don't have three or four timeouts for the last 2 minutes of the game. So you're just actually playing basketball. Yeah. And also, there's not like a bunch of music and sound effects going on during the game. Like, I don't think people realize just like how annoying that is. And it's why I like college basketball so much.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that crap. Like, if you watch NBA games from like the early 90s, you had some of it, but it wasn't on every single possession. You go to a Rockets game and it's every single possession there's some sort of music or sound effect. You got the PA announcer yelling defense.
You got the entertainment, and let's time for some t-shirts, everyone, and get on your all that stuff.
I think they throw out t-shirts at these games, but there's just so much less like noise. It's more basketball and less noise. And
it's just so rowdy, man. I love it, man. I'm like D'Amico Ryans. I love it.
I totally agree with you. Hey, I got one more for you if it gets to Jamie Erdahl. Thank you, Jamie Erdahl. She was on, I think it was this morning. I think it was today. NFL Network, yes. And this is what she said. You're going to love it.
Part of the sideline reporter packed. Please don't say, tell me about.
Okay, there it is. Tell me about.
I don't care if it's Bubba Ventrone. I don't care if it's special team. I don't care who you're getting.
How about talk about?
URB. Talk about it. I like Kyle's talk about it. Coach, tell me about. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. You cannot start tell me about and then end it with a question. It's physically impossible. It's grammatically incorrect. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sus and tell me about. Tell me about is sus.
Today, she is my favorite person. You guys who listen to us for any amount of time, that is one of my biggest pet peeves. You are paid a lot of money by big networks to be on the sideline, to have access that no one else literally has. And you go, hey, talk about the blah, 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 blah. Hey, tell me about, do your freaking job. That's not a question. It's a cop-out, too. I just hate the cop-out nature of the talk about.
It's lazy. Like,
it's ridiculous.
It's lazy.
It's lazy.
That's really all it is. There are some coaches who won't answer. I think Pop has done that a few times where you'll ask him a talk about question and he won't answer it. He'll say,
good.
How would you like me to talk about it?
I mean, these people are supposed to be at the apex of their profession. Hey, can you talk about CJ Stroud? Well, he's 6'2".
Yeah, well, you know, like
what are we doing?
All right, coming up next, we will replay our conversation with Texans wide receiver Noah Brown. We asked him about Kamari Lassiter, his early impressions of him, and also what has Stephon Diggs been like in the Texans locker room. We'll hear that next on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Back on In the Loop here from the Methodist Training Center, Texans training camp day number 9. A little earlier in the show, we had a chance to catch up with Texans wide receiver Noah Brown. The first thing we asked him is, why was C.J. Stroud so good when throwing under pressure last season as a rookie?
Pressure's all about having answers and knowing where your answers are. And C.J. is a very smart guy. He's very confident in himself and in the decisions he makes. So I think when he sees pressure, he gets excited because he knows he has the right decision to make.
Noah, this wide receiver competition is just so fun to watch. Like not only, you know, the guys like yourself and Tank and the guys we know, but you got Stephon Diggs in, you got guys like Skoranek come in. From your perspective, like what is it about this that is kind of getting you juiced up and the possibilities that these receivers have?
Oh, man, it's exciting. I was just talking to Rob Woods the other day. It's kind of like a college.
I didn't even mention that.
It's kind of like a college receiver room, like kind of what I was used to at Ohio State. You know, like in a sense, we got a room full of five stars, and everybody got to come out and get their best game every day. And I think it's really raising the level of the room.
Uh-huh. Now, there are guys that are maybe not make this squad that we all know. So it's intense as well. I mean, it's helpful. You guys are always helping each other. We can see that. But this is a profession, man, so it's going to be pretty intense all the way through, huh?
Right. You know, at the end of the day, that's one of the things I love about this room. Everyone has a very high level of skill, and everyone's very confident in themselves, but at the same time, everyone's rooting for each other. But you know, at the end of the day, we know that as one guy excels, another one's got to go ahead and try and level up on him. So, like I said, it's just raising the overall level of the group.
Texans wide receiver Noah Brown joining us on In the Loop. What has it been like having Diggs in that room so far?
It's been a great addition. You know, a guy with a lot of experience and the success that comes with his experience. You know, he's been doing that at a high level for a long time, and he comes with a lot of energy, and he's ready to share the knowledge he has. And that's one of the things I appreciate about him, is coming in and offering game and bringing extra energy and great value to our room.
Did you know him before he got here?
No, I didn't know him very well. I played with his brother in Dallas, so I'd seen him in passing, but didn't really know him before.
So, go ahead. He comes here and, I don't know, he has this, the reputation is kind of, he might not be the best locker room guy. How have you found him just as a locker room guy and just getting to know him? Does that kind of all get dispelled a little bit?
I try not to pay too much attention to those things. You know, the outside perception of somebody when I have the chance to meet them in person, I don't really think that does too much for me. You know, my experience with Stephon has been all positive. Like I said, he's been a great addition to the room, and, you know, I got nothing but good things to say about him.
I want to talk about the camp that you've had, but I just got to say it and get your reaction. It was really frustrating last week, you know, the little dust up or whatever people want to call it. And people around the country are like, oh, Stephon Diggs is in the middle. He was not in the middle of it. He got up and walked away. Like, it's like everybody's got to shake that and just start with a new page, like they talk about here. D'Amico has said it. Everybody starts new once they get here, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think that's just a testament to, you know, you can't go by everything that you read in the media, because, you know, Stephon was definitely not.
We don't do it. We don't do it either.
You know, just take those things with a grain of salt and, you know, keep it pushing.
All right, let's talk about your game, because the last few days, correct me if I'm wrong, seems like you really kind of stepped it up. Really good play down here. I know last year we got one that he got a hand on, but you've really stepped it up. What you're offering to this team in the context of everybody else in the room, what are some of the things that you've been offering?
I think just an all-around player, you know, somebody who can do a little bit of everything, somebody who's going to bring some physicality to the room, and, you know, just willing to do whatever I got to do. And I take pride in all parts of the game, and I try to show it out here on practice and on Sunday.
Noah Brown joining us on Sports Radio 610. You've had a chance to go up against Kamari Lassiter so far during camp. What have you kind of taken away from him?
He has a chance to be elite. That's a really good young player. I haven't seen too many like him that are as sticky in coverage as he is at such an early time in camp. I'm really excited for him. He's got a good head on his shoulder. He likes to work. So, you know, I think the sky's the limit for him.
This team has been a really good passing team in early downs. It didn't start out that way last year, more of a running team. As you move forward, I don't want you to go bulletin board material, but it's hard to stop these receivers. Then you throw in the tight end. Is this about as excited as you've been for a group?
For sure. I'm not a defensive coach for a reason, but if I were to try, I don't know if I'd be able to stop our offense just on paper. You know, we at the end of the day, we got to go out and do it and execute and put that same fear in people on Sundays through our play.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm excited about our potential.
So last year, you guys win the division, win a playoff game. How much did that want you and everybody else wanting more? How much motivation was it losing the Baltimore game the way that y'all did?
You know, once you get a taste of what it's like to reach the higher levels of this game, you for sure get a hunger to get it back. And, you know, nobody's happy with how the season ended last year. We're focused on excelling this year.
Is it hard? You're playing in these incredibly intense, high leverage games, and now you have to start back from zero. So is it hard to, like, get that intensity back?
I think, you know, you try to bring that same intensity to the practice field. I think that's how you elevate and push past the point you were at last year, is you don't go back to zero. You try and start from an elevated place, and I think we've done a good job of that.
Everybody's watching the receivers. Everybody's watching C.J. Stroud. Y'all guys are the stars. What has C.J. Stroud brought that maybe is going to take his game to another level this camp?
You just see a focus. You see him taking the next step in his preparation and the reads that he's making. He's, you know, he was decisive last year, but you see he's just a hair more on it this year, and he's you know, taking another step vocally. I would say he's just really pushing guys and getting out of his comfort zone, and, you know, that's something I see from CJ.
I know one thing he said and one thing D'Amico said, they want to see him take more command of the offense. What does that mean? Is it what you're talking about, or maybe more at the line of scrimmage, or what does that mean?
I don't play the quarterback position, but, you know, from my standpoint, CJ does a good job commanding the offense and, you know, his reads. So.
Yeah.
You started your career with Dak Prescott, and you saw Dak real early in his career. You now have had CJ early in his career. What stands out? What are the similarities between the two?
They both play quarterback. You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that there's too much similar between them. They're both good quarterbacks, I mean, but they have their own game and they're their own person. So,
all right, let's talk about this offense now. You say it, you know, it's gonna be, you're not a coach for a reason, but it's going to be impossible to stop. What can be different this year with this offense that is going to take it to the next level? I know Stephon by himself adds a dimension. What else on this offense where you're out here every day? I think this is day 9. What have you seen where you kind of shake your head and go, man, this is gonna be nice?
It's just a plethora of options. I mean, I think every day this is practice 8 or 9. You can come out here and pick a different person who's going off that day. So just everyone coming and when it's their time to show up and make the play that they do it, and just that consistency will bring us to the next level. Yeah.
We've seen Mechie have a really good camp so far. What's it been like for you to be able to watch him after everything that he's dealt with the last couple of years to come in here and really perform at a high level?
Man, Mechie's a soldier. I said it last year. I think if you didn't, you know, somewhat know his story, you would never know like what he's been through, because he just comes out here, he's excited to play, he's moving around. You know, he's probably the most gifted athletically in our room, and he's somebody who's really coming on strong in this camp, and I'm happy for him.
Do you see a difference in the athleticism from right now compared to where he was last year coming off the ACL and the leukemia?
I wouldn't say necessarily his athleticism. It's more his mental, his decisiveness. He's much more confident in what he's doing. You know, coming off that long journey last year, it was a little bit of a role for him to get back and shake some rust off, but I think Mech is definitely back.
When we talk about this team, we have expectations. Fans have expectations. I'm sure you guys do. And D'Amico always talks about, you know, eliminating that, you know, just to focus on the moment and all that. But I got to believe that part of y'all enjoy it. Like, you're in a totally different position from when you were sitting here last year. That's got to be a nice feeling.
Right, absolutely. I think that's what we come out here and work for. That's what you want to win games for, is to have higher expectations and that, you know, push your goals higher. And I think we're ready to meet that challenge, and we're all excited about it.
All right, last one, then we'll get you out of here. Michigan beat Ohio State last November, then they win the national championship. Has Nico Collins been insufferable about that?
Nico actually hasn't mentioned much about it, to be honest with you. Nico's been a good sport, but I hope we turn that around this year.
All right, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Noah, thank you for joining us. Best of luck the rest of camp. That's Noah Brown, Texans wide receiver, joining us here coming off the practice field on In the Loop here from the Methodist Training Center. We just heard from Noah Brown, Texans wide receiver, talked with us after he came off the field. And I think the thing that stood out for me, John, was just the praise that he heaped on Kamari Lassiter.
Yes, I think that was one. Kamari Lassiter, I got to be honest, this isn't a confession. Like, we all know, you know, Clint Sterner's extreme knowledge of the NFL, having played in the league at the quarterback position, certainly knows a thing or two about the cornerback position. I haven't seen that. Like, he hasn't been real high on, well, not, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but hasn't been as high on Kamari Lassiter as we have. Dude, everything I've seen has been him making plays. And if it's about making plays on guys that are big dudes like Noah Brown, and we just saw one, and we talked about it with Noah Brown, the ball skills, you know, it's a term that people kind of casually throw around. He's got good ball skills. He's got good hips. Mm-hmm. You know, all these little catchphrases. But he does. It jumps out at you consistently. So I'd love to see and have a conversation with Clint about that as well. The other thing that stood out to me with him is you can tell among these wide receivers, they're having a lot of fun. They know they're really good. But as kids like to say, the math doesn't math all the time. And the math at the position that they're at the wide receiver position, it ain't going to add up. You know, there are a lot of guys, some really good players that are not going to make this squad.
I believe they carried 6 receivers on the initial 53-man roster last year. I mean, it's very easy to get to 6 and leave good wide receivers off with this team. I mean, you have the big 3 with Collins, Dell, and Diggs, and then you have Mechie, then you have Brown, and then you have Robert Woods, and then there's Xavier Hutchinson, and there are more guys Skoranek. After that. Steven Sims, Skoranek, like that's 9 guys right there that can Xavier easily Hutchinson. Play for any other NFL team, and they might have trouble finding their way on the roster. But again, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And they can certainly carry more than 6 if they wanted to this year. They can easily get that to 7, maybe even 8 if they get creative with how the rest of the roster is made up. But it's good competition. It's important to have competition like that during training camp, because I do think that it makes everybody else better.
And speaking of getting to 7 or 8, Steven Sims continues to run with the kickoff flat out with the first group. He and Damian Pierce. So that helps Damian Pierce, first of all. And we know he's going to make the squad. To what degree he's effective, we'll find out. But Steven Sims is a valuable asset in the kick returns. He's out there every time with the first group. So how do you squeeze him in? You know, we didn't even mention him. So it's a great competition. It's great to watch, and they are really, really good.
On the injury front, again, still no Laremy Tunsil. Titus Howard went into the injury tent for about 10, 15 minutes today, but he returned to practice after he emerged from the from the injury tent. So that was good news on that front. Joe Mixon did not practice, but he was very active, just talking to guys. I mean, he was sitting right in front of us for about 5 minutes, just talking with Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. He was also in huddles. Again, he wasn't playing, but he was in the huddle just kind of giving out instructions and kind of helping, you know, get everybody on the same page. So that was a step, and I don't know. I haven't seen from D'Amico if we have a better idea of when he might be able to return to the practice field. But it's not like he didn't have anything wrapped. He didn't have anything iced or anything like that. Yeah, he was just kind of. It almost looked like it was just a day off for him more than anything else.
I'm convinced that let's tell our listeners right now. Don't worry about Joe Mixon. At least not over this. I'm convinced this is going to be when they get through the Hall of Fame game. They're going to want to see some other backs. When they get through the Hall of Fame game, then he's going to step in and start doing more, kind of like Laremy Tunsil. So don't worry about him.
That was our conversation with Texans wide receiver Noah Brown. Got him right off the practice field. Thank you to him for joining us. Coming up next on In the Loop, we will go around the NFL. That's next on Sports Radio 60. We've seen Mechie have a really good camp so far. What's it been like for you to be able to watch him after everything that he's dealt with the last couple of years to come in here and really perform at a high level?
Man, Mechie's a soldier. I said it last year, I think. Like, if you didn't, you know, somewhat know his story, you would never know, like, what he's been through, because he just comes out here, he's excited to play, he's moving around. You know, he's probably the most gifted athletically in our room, and he's somebody who's really coming on strong in this camp, and I'm happy for him.
Do you see a difference in the athleticism from right now compared to where he was last year coming off the ACL and the leukemia?
I wouldn't say necessarily his athleticism. It's more his mental, his decisiveness. He's much more confident in what he's doing. You know, coming off that long journey last year, it was a little bit of a road for him to get back and shake some rust off. But I think Mitch is definitely back.
When we talk about this team, we have expectations. Fans have expectations. I'm sure you guys do. And D'Amico always talks about, you know, eliminating that, you know, just to focus on the moment and all that. But I got to believe that part of y'all enjoy it. Now, you are in a totally different position from when you were sitting here last year. That's got to be a nice feeling.
Right, absolutely. I think that's what we come out here and work for. That's what you want to win games for, is to have higher expectations and that, you know, push your goals higher. And I think we're ready to meet that challenge, and we're all excited about it.
All right, last one, then we'll get you out of here. Michigan beat Ohio State last November, then they win the national championship. Has Nico Collins been insufferable about that?
Nico actually hasn't mentioned much about it, to be honest with you. Nico's been a good sport, but I hope we turn that around this year.
All right, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Noah, thank you for joining us. Best of luck the rest of camp. That's Noah Brown, Texans wide receiver, joining us here coming off the practice field on In the Loop here from the Methodist Training Center. We just heard from Noah Brown, Texans wide receiver, talked with us after he came off the field. And I think the thing that stood out for me, John, was just the praise that he heaped on Kamari Lassiter.
Yes, I think that was one. Kamari Lassiter, I got to be honest, this isn't a confession. Like, we all know, you know, Clint Sterner's extreme knowledge of the NFL, having played in the league at the quarterback position, certainly knows a thing or two about the cornerback position. I haven't seen that. Like, he hasn't been real high on, well, not, I shouldn't say that. I'm not put words in his mouth, but hasn't been as high on Kamari Lassiter as we have. Dude, everything I've seen has been him making plays. And if it's about making plays on guys that are big dudes like Noah Brown, and we just saw one and we talked about it with Noah Brown, the ball skills, you know, it's a term that people kind of casually throw around. He's got good ball skills. He's got good hips. Mm-hmm. You know, all these little catchphrases. But he does. It jumps out at you consistently. So I'd love to see and have a conversation with Clint about that as well. The other thing that stood out to me with him is you can tell among these wide receivers, they're having a lot of fun. They know they're really good. But as kids like to say, the math doesn't math all the time. And the math at the position that they're at the wide receiver position, it ain't going to add up. You know, there are a lot of guys, some really good players that are not going to make this squad.
I believe they carried six receivers on the initial 53-man roster last year. I mean, it's very easy to get to six and leave good wide receivers off with this team. I mean, you have the big three with Collins, Collins, Dell, and Diggs, and then you have Mechie, then you have Brown, and then you have Robert Woods, and then there's Xavier Hutchinson, and there are more guys Skoranek. After that. Steven Sims, Skoranek, like that's nine guys right there that can Xavier easily play Hutchinson. For any other NFL team, and they might have trouble finding their way on the roster. But again, it's a good problem to have, and they can certainly carry more than six if they wanted to this year. They can easily get that to seven, maybe even eight if they get creative with how the rest of the roster is made up. But it's good competition. It's important to have competition like that during training camp because I do think that it makes everybody else better.
And speaking of getting to seven or eight, Steven Sims continues to run with the kickoff flat out with the first group. He and Damian Pierce. So that helps Damian Pierce, first of all. And we know he's going to make the squad. To what degree he's effective, we'll find out. But Steven Sims is a valuable asset in the kick returns. He's out there every time with the first group. So how do you squeeze him in? You know, we didn't even mention him. So it's a great competition. It's great to watch, and they are really, really good.
On the injury front, again, still no Laremy Tunsil. Tytus Howard went into the injury tent for about 10-15 minutes today, but he returned to practice after he emerged from the injury tent. So that was good news on that front. Joe Mixon did not practice, but he was very active, just talking to guys. I mean, he was sitting right in front of us for about 5 minutes, just talking with Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs. He was also in huddles. Again, he wasn't playing, but he was in the huddle just kind of giving out instructions and kind of helping, you know, get everybody on the same page. So that was a step, and I don't know. I haven't seen from D'Amico if we have a better idea of when he might be able to return to the practice field, but it's not like he didn't have anything wrapped. He didn't have anything iced or anything like that. Yeah, he was just kind of – it almost looked like it was just a day off for him more than anything
else. I'm convinced that – don't worry. Let's tell our listeners right now, don't worry about Joe Mixon, at least not over this. I'm convinced this is going to be when they get through the Hall of Fame game, they're going to want to see some other backs. When they get through the Hall of Fame game, then he's going to step in and start doing more, kind of like Laremy Tunsil. So don't worry about him.
That was our conversation with Texans wide receiver Noah Brown. Got him right off the practice field. Thank you to him for joining us. Coming up next on In the Loop, we will go around the NFL. That's next on Sports Radio 60.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.